In your absence, the Lord ministered a word to me. We're still in our purpose-driven series. I'm not sure what part this is, maybe part 7 or 8. I'm not exactly sure. But I've titled it tonight simply, The Shallows. S-H-A-L-L-O-W-S, The Shallows. You'll understand why before the night is over. But in Numbers chapter 13, go with me to Ezekiel chapter 47. Okay, now stay, keep your finger in Numbers chapter 13 and in Ezekiel 47. Someone say shallows. How many swimmers do we have in here? How many non-swimmers do we have here? Okay, y'all familiar with the shallows. You know the shallows well. You, even in a private pool, you stay at a 3 foot. I remember learning to swim. I was in the Boy Scouts at Camp Betts in Michigan, and there was a line of us, and they were gonna make us swim. And so they lined us up on the deep end, and you had to jump in. And you know, they had people all around, your guards all around, so that if you started to take on water, they'd get you. So I thought, okay, since they're gonna make us jump in this deep end, I'm gonna give me a running start. And I did. I ran to the edge of it and jumped as far as I could out, and I almost got to the 5 feet. But I went up under. But that was how I learned how to swim. You know, while I was away, I stayed at this place where they had a pool, and leaving there, going to where my son's school was, there was a family out there with a little baby. Had to be maybe 2 years old, but he had on the floaties, you know, on his arms. It was out in the middle of the deep end. Yeah, learning, you know, that's they'll learn quicker than an adult how to swim. But in order to learn to swim, you can't just stay in the shallows. You know, some people pretend like they're swimming, their hands, they're pulling themselves, look, I'm swimming, pull himself on the... No, you in the shallows. You know how y'all do. Look, I'm swimming. In Ezekiel 47, we see an angel that brought Ezekiel to a flowing river. And let me read some things here in chapter 47 of Ezekiel, chapter 47, verse 1. Afterward, he brought me again unto the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward. For the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under from the right side of the house at the south side of the altar. Then brought he me out of the way of the gate northward, and led me about the way without unto the utter gate, by the way that looketh eastward, and behold, there ran out waters on the right side. And when the man that had the line in his hand went forth eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits, and he brought me through the waters. The waters were to the ankles. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the knees. Again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters were to the loins. Afterward, he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not pass over, for the waters were risen, waters to swim in, a river that could not be passed over. Now, I want you to envision that, what Ezekiel saw and experienced. But there was something about the shallow water. And he says it a little further down in that chapter, in chapter 47 of Ezekiel, verse number 11. He says, but the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. They shall be given to salt. When Ezekiel is speaking about the miry places and the marshes, he's talking about the shallows, the shallow water. It will be given to salt. There's no healing property. Now, this river had healing properties in it. If you read the story and the verses of scripture, but the shallow, he said, the miry places and the marshes, that you can stand in as only ankle deep, he said, there's no healing properties. In other words, he said, but the miry places thereof and the marshes thereof shall not be healed. So our focus tonight and the emphasis is on coming out of the shallows. You know, you're in the water, ankle deep. That's good. But he says here that in the ankle deep, or where the marshes are and the miry, the muddy places, there's no healing. Could that be why sometimes people aren't healed, or relationships aren't healed? Because you're in the shallows. Say amen on the west side. That west side. I had a brother that used to live on the west side of Chicago. I stayed there sometime, and you know, he couldn't get insurance on his car over there. Are y'all like the west side? So, point. The shallows. God says the marshes, the miry or the muddy places, and that's how it is in shallow water, there's no healing. There's no healing properties. Okay, I want you to keep that in mind as we dive into this message. Now, in Numbers chapter 13, and beginning at verse number 26, you're familiar with this story, but I want to bring it to the forefront and highlight it. Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. The spies that had gone out to spy out the land with with Joshua and Caleb came back with a report on what they saw. They went and came to Moses, to Aaron, to all the congregation of children of Israel, unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Now, they started out with a real positive note. And they told him and said, we came unto the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. Somebody say, and money. And this is the fruit of it. Now, I use that as a proclamation a lot of times. I live in a land that flows with milk and honey and money. They said, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites. The Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb steeled the people. The people started to get very nervous and agitated. But Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land to which we have gone to search it is a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. All the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Give me verse 31 again. But the men that went up with him said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land. 10 of the 12 spies preferred what they saw to the promise that God gave them. They preferred what they were seeing with their eyes to the promise that God has spoken to them. And because of that, they brought up what the Word of God says, an evil report, a report of unbelief. Now, there's something about the tongue. Let me see here. This is real important for some of us, more important than for others, because some of us have issues with this. I'm talking about the tongue. In James chapter 3 and verse number 6, and the tongue, and I want you to study that chapter 3 of James. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles the whole body. Your tongue will mess you up. I'm talking about your body. You can be talking about somebody else, but it's messing you up. That it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. Now these 10 spies, with their tongue, set on fire the course of nature. They chose rather to believe a lie, believe something other than what God told them. In other words, they decided not to believe what God said, and they opened their mouth in unbelief and started a fire. You have to understand, your tongue will start some fire. Your tongue can sink a ship, can start a war. Amen. Bring strife into your house, cause you to lose a job. Hello? Amen. Now, Eastside, you ain't exempt over here either. Your tongue, when it's yielded to in the form of iniquity and unbelief, it strikes a match, it starts a spark, and sets on fire a course. It can set on fire the course of nature. And you know when your speaking gets all messed up, everything about you starts getting messed up.
Thank you for listening. To order today's message or for more information about our church, contact us at 772-465-0036. For updates on ministries and other events, visit our website at www.trbanks.com. And remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.